You had better pull in closer. The fire is small, and the forest is wild on this dark full moon. The mist, like cold bony fingers, lightly brushes over tiny hairs on the back of your neck. Feel the cold creep across your spine like a spider, searching for a place to start its web. Do not turn when the tall trees creak in the swirling autumn wind. That is only the forest leaning in to listen. Come in closer to the campfire. I have a chilling Halloween story for you. It smells of damp wool and apprehension. It begins in a ranger hall at the forest's edge, on a night when the community gathered to hear a simple plan with a heavy shadow. A shaded fuel break along the darkened trail. Safer homes. Living habitat. That is all the forestry you need to know for now. For the true haunting was not the trees. It was the presentation.
Let our chilling tale begin. The jack-o'-lantern on the table grinned with evil, as if it knew the ending. Our presenter, a second-year UBC student with good steel-toed boots, a red flannel shirt, and a brave face, stepped forward. The room hushed, the silence focusing attention like a knife. The projector sighed through its dim light. From the vents, the cold mist, like spirits, thickened into shapes that wore lanyards. They came like nightmares and memories of mistakes past that refuse to leave. The ghosts of disgruntled communication professors past slipped silently into the hole, visible only to the presenter. His nervousness was palpable. The first ghost approached the lectern. Tall and pale, gray. The ghost, strung with bullet points, worn like medals. His eyes were dim like the color of sustainable, unbleached paper. He smelled of burnt coffee and late grading. He is known by many names, whispered by students behind his back. Tonight he bowed and whispered his favorite. Professor Endless Slides. Without asking, he slipped into the presenter's aura and raised one trembling bony hand toward the clicker. The ghost took over. There was no stopping now. The screen bloomed with a field of tiny letters, impossible to read from any distance. A graveyard of graphs. The audience leaned back in their creaky chairs. The anticipation of judgment. The kind of judgment. When one is about to be bored to death. I know you cannot read this, the presenter heard themselves say. A raven on the window sash tapped its beak on the glass. Tap, tap, tap. One eye was a small, cold star. The other, gray and unattentive. The laser dot wandered like a lost spirit and found a forehead in row 3. Phones lit like small auroras. All attention lost. Chairs creaked with the soft music of possibilities of escape. The raven tapped again. Tap. Then it spoke in a voice like an old hinge. Blank. the words slid under the presenter's ribs. Fingers moved. Click. Black screen. The ghost flinched, as if someone had opened a window in January. Professor Endless Slides hates blankness. He feeds on clutter. Tonight is about three things, the presenter said, facing toward the people rather than the wall. Safety, habitat, care for a place we share. One small gesture for each word, enhancing the idea. One breath of quiet. To let the ideas land. The room leaned forward again. Endless slides hissed, thinned, and seeped back into the HDMI port to sulk. The lights steadied. The hall breathed. But then, the second ghost arrived. He came in like he was being chased down an unending corridor. You know the one that nightmares are made of. A corridor without doors. He carried a metronome and a promise that nothing would change. Emotionless, memorized talk. His voice made every sentence lie down in the same grave. He pressed his chalk-cold hands to the presenter's throat and smiled the tired smile of someone who has taught at 9 in the morning since forever. Dean. Monotone. Speak, he said, and fixed the pitch at one level. He nailed the pace to the floorboards. Good. Evening. We are here. Two. The raven scraped one wing across the glass. The sound had teeth like fingernails on a chalkboard. Pace, it said, meaning woke up inside the presenter. When the words carried risk, like technical explanations, the pitch fell a shade. And the pace slowed. Along this street, homes sit close to continuous fine fuels. On dry wind days, that matters. The hall became still. Then hope arrived, and the varied tone engaged. The good news is that we have choices. We can prune ladder fuels to 2 meters. We can keep a shaded fuel break. We can protect roosts and understory plants. A pause opened like a small clearing. The dean's metronome cracked. He drifted back toward the ceiling lights, muttering, and was caught there like cobweb. The varied tone and cadence silenced him for now. And then, from the floorboards arose the third. She wore a clicker on a chain, and uncomfortable shoes that refused to settle. Her smile was bright, but thin as a blade. She moved across the stage in loops and figure eights, and asked the wall if it could hear her. She is the patron of roaming scars and revels, in making audiences seasick. One too many tennis matches, I'm sure. Dame Perpetua Fidget. She took the presenter's feet in her cold, damp hands and marched them to and fro. The hands began to whirl. The eyes raced the laser dot. The back turned to the people again and again, as if the PowerPoint screen were a lover lost at sea. The raven's beak hit the sash once. The sound cut clean through. Anchor, it said. The presenter felt 3 footprints appear on the stage. Center. Left. Right. They stopped at center and faced the room with the shape of a person who had decided to be seen. The torso, not just the head, turned to include the standing group. near the exit. The eyes visited three faces for one heartbeat each. The elder in the front, the student by the door, and the person who had not spoken yet. Quiet hellos. The room closed ranks against the cold. Dame Fidget hissed and slid under the table to tangle the power bar. The best of her tricks. We did not follow. The audience felt a connection with the speaker. And then, from the dark corridor floated a fourth, uninvited ghost, wrapped with enticing velvet phrases that dripped nonsense, probably written by AI, sounding more like soft violins that no one had invited. Passion and specificity gone. The speaker unsure of what was actually written, as the author was a ghost in the machine. A trembling chin, a pounding heart. Beginning with a fairy tale, once upon a time, and finishing without a point. The maudlin muse. They breathed sugar into the presenter's mouth. Tell them about a leaf who loved a twig, who loved a branch, they said. Do not mind the plan. Feelings are enough. The raven cocked its head. The eye was steady and without pity. Balance, the raven stated. The presenter recalled one local story and stitched it to scientific findings. The muse was not impressed. 2 summers ago, a thick smoke lay in this valley. A sapling started on the stump by the boardwalk and lived because there was sunlight and moisture. Last spring, our transects showed fine fuels higher than expected within the first 50 meters behind 8 homes. We can keep the shade that matters and remove the fuels that climb. It was short, real, not syrup. The muse dissolved like steamy breath on glass. The door at the back opened without sound. Someone, or something, wrapped the room in cloth. The questioning audience lowered their hands and sat down. The air grew obedient. This one did not smile. The shroud of silence. He pressed on the presenter's shoulders with a touch that felt so heavy. Speak at them, not to them, he advised. Do not ask. If you must ask, answer your own question. Leave no dead air. Space is where thoughts escape. The raven tapped only once, answering with a cold note. Silence is where ideas form. Ask, it said. The presenter let a thought rise like the heat from a lantern. If we change nothing this winter, what happens here on the hottest windy day next summer? Silence arrived, but it had breath in it. People pictured the presenter's idea in their head. Then the presenter gave them a safe door. Show of hands only. What changed most these last 2 seasons along the trail? Safety, habitat, aesthetics. Hands rose like saplings after rain. A few answered questions. The room moved from audience to an open conversation. The shroud frayed at the edges and slipped under a chair, where quiet goes when you invite audience voices. You would think the haunting ended there. It did not. The projector flickered awake by itself. a title appeared that no one had written. Slide 1 of 120. Professor Endless Slides laughed with a maniacal, deep and empty voice. The audience groaned. The raven dropped from the window and came inside. It crossed the hall. It landed on the lectern. The bird looked at the presenter with that bright, unreasonable eye. "Choose," it said. The presenter smiled a thin, human smile. The kind that grows when a person remembers why they came. They stood at center. They faced the people. They spoke as if the words belonged to the room and not the wall. One purpose named, one brief story true to the place, sown to a fact, a voice that fell for risk and rose for solutions. A question for the mind, and a question that let hands raise gestures like a highlighter. Then stillness, pauses that let ideas flourish. It took 5 minutes, no more, no less. People stayed. People understood. People felt part of the work. So, here we are, in the middle of the dark campsite. The fire is low, and you have come far into the dark with me. The raven was no bird. It was the presenter's own voice, the one that lives behind the first voice, the one that knows how to carry meaning. It wore a shape you would respect on Halloween, so you would listen. It has been perched in you the whole time. You have been sitting here, waiting for your turn to stand. If you do not want the ghosts, feed the raven. Own your confidence. Own the stage. Stand like a person who has decided to be there. Turn your face to the people you are speaking to, as if you are opening a conversation. Let your eyes visit everyone in the room. Let more technical topics lower your pitch and slow your pace. Let solutions brighten your tone, like hope. Pause on purpose. Tell one true story you can tie to at least one clean fact. Ask one question that wakes the mind, then one that lets the room answer. An answer you have anticipated. Move to include, then rest. Do that. And the professors will have to haunt someone else. They will stretch out on the vents and wait for the next poor soul who wields a laser pointer like a sword thirsty for blood. The fire crackles. The mist presses its cold cheek to your neck. Do not turn. You do not need to. You have a voice that knows what to do. You know your topic inside and out. No need to read. When you stand at your own lectern, you will hear a tap just once from inside your ribs. Choose. And if something black grasps that moment to tilt its head from the back of the room, do not fear it. It is only your raven. Perched on your words, ready to engage the audience. You are the pilot of your presentation. Oh, and one more thing before the fire sinks to embers. The raven hops closer, cocking that one bright, starry eye. It speaks as if prying a lid from a long-shut box and utters a dire warning. Do not condemn your professor to wander the haunted corridors of horrid presentations. Be the voice of the Raven.
Yeah.